Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, cricket season and test matches coming up, and Australia's always been good at the one day, but they've never won a 2020 title until now.
We're talking cricket again. We just talked cricket a couple of episodes ago.
Well, we know how enraptured that you are.
Well, you love your 2020. You always tell me that's your favourite form of cricket.
You know,
you love that much more than the test cricket. You always tell me that.
I'm showing that I'm not being biased here, because I actually do not like 2020 normally. But I did go to Allied Oval once to watch Australian Indian in 2020, and there was crowds and lovely atmosphere. I've been to some of the games at Allied Oval where they've South Australia's done very well. But I've never had the same feelings as the one day.
So do you think cricket have got it right in terms of, like, looking after the traditionalists like yourself? Like, because test cricket still here in Australia gets pretty big crowds, doesn't it? Like,
yep.
It gets a lot of media coverage, big crowds, people really look forward to it. And yet for the non-traditionalists like myself, for example, who I don't really care whether it's test cricket or not, it's captured another sort of population, a group of the population who are really interested in that style of cricket.
The good news is I thought it was the death of test cricket. I thought test cricket was out the door 10 years ago, but it survived. And, yeah, I reckon they've got the balance right.
Yeah, and it's certainly made a new way of players making money, isn't it? Like, because not all players can make the test team, but there's some now specialist players who, obviously, Glenn Maxwell, for an example, who would you say is a specialist 20-over player in terms of his batting, and so it's given them an opportunity, and especially with the IPL, like, they've obviously got a lot of opportunity to make some big money.
Yeah, I suppose in that sense, these are professional cricketers, so they deserve to get a good payday, and I suppose there's more opportunities, and at the end of the day, there'll be guys playing 2020 that will advance and play one day and play test cricket.
Well, it gives another opportunity, doesn't it? And so sometimes a young player, for example, like Adam Zampa in this World Cup, was probably one of the best bowlers in the whole competition.
Yeah, he's from South Australia.
Well, he was. And so a leg spinner. And so he might now have pushed himself forward, whereas he hasn't had a great run in terms of being in the Australian team and getting a run in test cricket. So now he's had an opportunity to shine at a different level. And you think for a spinner, like the 2020 can be a bit hit and miss because you can get knocked around. But obviously in this one, his best figures were 5 for 19.
He got, what, 13 for the whole series?
He did. I think he was one of the top couple. I think the second maybe best bowler in terms of number of wickets with an average of 5.81. So for a young guy, that's a great opportunity, and to be part of the first Australian team to win the T20 World Cup.
Justin Langer, he coaches all forms of cricket, doesn't he?
He does. And can we talk about him for a minute? Because, again, he obviously Australian cricket had its ups and downs, and it was certainly on a down, wasn't it, after the Seedsmith Dave Warner incident.
Yep.
Now, Justin Langer, to me, and again, I'm just an observer looking in, I don't really understand the process, but he seemed to bring everyone back together and really make Australia a force in cricket again.
Yeah.
Now, it seems that his attitude, the way he goes about it, is pretty intense. And that has just recently sort of led to a bit of scrutiny from the media, which obviously has come from players who haven't necessarily been overly happy with him. And we sort of live in that world now, don't we?
Where
it wasn't that long ago that if a coach said, run through that brick wall,
a player would.
And now a coach says, run through the brick wall, and a player says, hang on a minute, there must be a better way of doing this.
Can
I go this way? Can I step over it?
Yeah.
And so, of course, the landscape has changed, and players now have a lot more say in how things a run and so on. But it seemed that he, to his credit, took on criticism and feedback from the players, which you think can be a tough thing to do. And even listening to the news last night, the players, the way they spoke, they didn't say anything negative, but they said he was very different this time, very relaxed, laid back, very different attitude. And it was interesting reading between the comments what he might have been like before. But credit to him to, one, get them where they now are, at a part where they can win the World Cup, which they haven't done before, but also, I guess, evolve as a coach.
You know, look, they weren't the best of circumstances when he took over, and I suppose he was under a lot of pressure because, you know, you do the job where you get sacked seems to be the message, because Australia's had so much success. So I reckon, he probably was a little bit uptight, but unless he gets the feedback, he probably didn't even realise it.
Well, there's people have their personalities and their styles and how they want to go about things. And, of course, sometimes that can have success, which we saw, but then it can be draining on people. So if you're constantly – obviously, the key that I read about was his intensity. So he's obviously really at them a lot and in their face and so on. And I guess – like any over time, that takes its toll, doesn't it? And yeah. So often the great coaches have that balancing act, and you'll hear them, they'll talk to one player a different way and a different player another way, because they sort of really get to know them as people and their personalities.
You know, but having said all that, there are players that do need to run through a brick wall. They need to be told and treated that way to get the best out of them.
Well, that's all right. Again, every player is different, like every coach is different. But anyway, they obviously got their act together because they've won the World Cup.
Congratulations.
Beating New Zealand.
Yeah, but the big one was Pakistan was undefeated, and they beat them in the semi-final. That was an amazing comeback. They were chasing 176. Pakistan were 4 for 176. And I think it was Matt Wade. I mean, earlier David Warner, who had a magnificent series, he got 49. Even Marcus Steiner, he got 40 off 31. But Matt Wade, 41 off 17. He got three boundaries, like a six and a couple of fours all in a row.
See, isn't that the exciting part of T20? I know it's not your favourite, but that's for us watching. Like, you have so limited time and you think it's all done, it's over, they can't. And all of a sudden someone comes out, it could be with the ball or the bat, and all of a sudden hits a number of sixes, hits some boundaries, and it just changes the game like that. And the same with bowling. All of a sudden someone comes in and gets a couple of wickets, and again, it changes things. And I think that's the exciting part of T20.
There's no playing for a draw, mate.
No.
Yeah, and look, just to sort of continue, you know, Australia were with two games left. They needed to win both games just to make the semi-finals.
Well, there's a lot of criticism. I mean, not criticism. I mean, they were doing okay, weren't they? But there's certainly talk was probably England was another one that people were talking about winning. But Australia really got going when they needed to, and that's the reality of any sport, isn't it? Your form. When it counts, like finals time is really critical. You can be the best team all through the minor round and then not win the final, as we see another case with the World Cup. And David Warner too, again, people love to criticise him, don't they? He's sort of that player where people were happy to – like he is an exciting player, but people will jump on him. If his form's not there, he gets criticised very, very quickly.
Before the series or early in the series, weren't they calling for his head? Didn't they?
Yeah, and that's and then he ended up being player of the series.
What did he get? He got almost 300 runs, didn't he?
Well, he's 289 runs, which was the second highest in terms of runs scored. His average wasn't as high as some of the others, but he certainly, and that's probably because his couple of early games weren't where he would like them or where the Australian team would have liked them. But again, I listened to a couple of the sort of some of the news conferences or press conferences, and he was relaxed the whole time. And I thought that's a good attitude. Like he was saying, it will come, it will happen. And it did.
It did. Well, yeah. 49.
And I guess he's probably, I mean, he's weathered lots of storms, hasn't he? So
that's an understatement.
Yeah. And that's what, so he's probably now realized, well, this is the way the game is played in terms of off field. And he's obviously got the strength out there on the field, and he can now do it off field as well.
Well, he doesn't have to prove anything anymore because with all that problems where he got suspended and everything like that, that's in the past, and he's just enjoying his game.
And he's a player we talked about before, like he has shone in all levels. Types of levels, yeah. And types of the game of cricket, hasn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, I was saying he got 49 in the semi, but, you know, he sort of – got a little bit lost in the mix with the heroes in the grand final because, you know, Mitch Marsh got 77 off 50 and Josh Hazlewood took 3 for 16. But Warner got a lazy 53 runs off 38 balls.
Just taking it easy.
Just taking it easy, mate. And even
he was just there supporting Mitch Marsh.
Yeah, and Glenn Maxwell got a quick fire 28 off 18. So really it's sort of like it's a cohesion of the whole team, really. Everyone contributes.
Yeah, and that's what you need, isn't it? You need – obviously, we've got a fairly strong – well, we actually have a very strong batting lineup and bowling, don't we? We've got some good quicks, obviously. Hazlewood had a great series, got 3 for 16 in the final, and he had 11 wickets over the whole series. But Adam Zampa, I thought, again, young guy who's really now, as I mentioned before, has maybe given himself a chance to go on and play more cricket for Australia. Matt Wade was another one who's been like the captain of the team. He's been really one of the go-to T20 players for a long time now, and he's suggesting maybe that this will be his last season.
Well, his contribution in the semi-final, that 41, a lot of people are giving him the credit for winning the whole series, because if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't be in it.
That's right. And that's, I mean, and it's hard to say, but like he obviously, when needed.
Late in the game, yep, when they were well behind.
And there was a lot of pressure obviously going into that game, because it was, that's it. If you don't, if you win, you go on. If you don't, you're out. And so, and quality team too, Pakistan.
You know, just to sort of align the respect I have for these guys, I'm not much of a horse racing type person, but like I really admired like Black Caviar and all the top efforts. And this is what this is. This is just an absolute top effort, and you just got to take your hat off to it.
You do, and again, it's this type of cricket, as we said, T20, where Australia haven't had the greatest success. I mean, we do well, don't we? We do well in all levels of cricket, but I guess this adding this trophy to the trophy cabinet means that Australian cricketers have now done everything, haven't they? Men and women.
Well, it seems that way, but we have a bias because we love Australia. We love it seeing Australians do well, but on a world stage, really, they'd have to be just about historically the best.
Well, they're certainly, you think we're probably one of the best test teams going around at the moment. And now, obviously, our current form suggests we're the best T20. Like the 50 overs is still around. And so you'd think, obviously, we do well there. And our women are probably the best going around as well. So right now, you're going to have to think Australia in terms of international cricket is number one. I'm just making that up. I haven't looked at the actual. I'm sure there's actual rankings that IOC put out.
New Zealand and England, I think, are ranked quite highly in the Test arena. But
well, New Zealand has struggled a bit in the finals, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
So,
but didn't they win the Test Series Grand Final or something?
A good question. I have no idea. Yeah, you're asking me a cricket question.
Well, this shows our bias because you know we can tell you everything about Australia.
Do we care?
Anyway. So ends another cut on Late Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.